We have four short readings this morning. The first is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Didn't practice that bit. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said we will not walk in it.
John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
And lastly, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4-9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Thanks, guys. Morning, everyone. You're getting good at that, actually, of replying back. Like, that's really nice. Hey, so welcome to our third week of Practicing the Way. Just a series of trying to help us to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and doing the works of Jesus. And one of the passages from Jeremiah chapter 6, I think it's one of the coolest passages in the Bible. It sounds like something out of The Lord of the Rings, which we just read, where Jeremiah chapter 6 says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." So it's a picture of people standing at the crossroads and actually having to make a decision about where they are going to walk. How are they going to live? And there's this ancient path, this ancient way of being that will lead to a life of rest for our souls. And I think actually that's the decision that you and I actually need to make as we actually go through this series. In a very real sense, we are standing at a crossroads and we need to make a decision about which path we choose to walk in. Today's key passage is from Matthew chapter 11, and in some ways I tremble before this passage. In some ways, I think everything about that you need to know about Christianity is in this passage. Everything you need to know about this series is in this passage. So let's read it again. Come to me. Be with me. All you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know about you, but I'm often weary. I'm often burdened. I'm often fatigued and I'm often afraid and I'm often scared and often worried and I'm often disorientated. And here is an invitation this morning to come and be with Jesus. So how about we pray And we just ask that the Holy Spirit will actually speak to us, and that these words of Jesus will actually become real to us. And as a result of actually being in community here this morning, sitting under God's word, experiencing His Spirit, celebrating communion, we might know as we leave today that we have been with Jesus. So let's pray. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, God, I just pray for my church family, for my brothers and sisters in Christ, for my friends, my fellow followers of you. God, as we come to this passage and these words of Jesus, I just pray that we'll actually respond to this great invitation to come and be with Jesus. Help us to actually learn, actually, what does that mean practically in our daily lives? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we actually see in this passage is an invitation we all have, and that is to come to me, be with Jesus. So there's an echo over everybody's life, and the echo is come and follow, come and see, come and be a Talmudim, come and be a disciple, an apprentice to Jesus. Now, it's pretty obvious that the first Christians, the first follower of Jesus, responded to this call by actually physically being with Jesus. They ate with Jesus, they slipped alongside of Jesus, they followed Jesus, they heard the teachings of Jesus, they witnessed his life, death and resurrection. But how do you and I be with Jesus in the 21st century in the northern suburbs of Sydney? Jesus has died, he's raised again, and now he has actually ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's no longer physically on earth, so how do we be with him? This seems to be a pretty critical question that all of us have to actually find an answer to, don't we? Well, remember in John chapter 14 to 17, you have this upper room discourse, and Jesus is actually dealing with this question head on. He's preparing his disciples for his death. He's saying, I'm about to leave you. In John chapter 14, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. And then in verse 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. So it's kind of confusing. Jesus says he's about to leave, but he also says, I'm about to come to you. How can that be? Well, in verse 16, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And then verse 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. So we've spoken about this already, but allow me to actually blow your minds. Within 5 seconds, or about a minute, your minds are literally, theologically going to explode. There's going to be blood and all that kind of stuff over the floor. So just be prepared for that. Jesus says, I'm about to leave, but when I leave, the Father will send another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. But he also says, when the Holy Spirit comes, I will come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, the Father will come. And here we're actually introduced to the beauty and the wonder and the glory of the Trinity. That God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, but they are so one, when you get one, you get all three. And so what Jesus is actually saying to us is that when Jesus actually walked this earth, it was kind of limiting of those people who could actually be with Jesus. There was a small group of people in one geographical location at one point in history who could be with Jesus, but now Jesus says, through the Holy Spirit, I'm with all followers everywhere, all the time. In John chapter 16, Jesus says, very truly, 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 I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus actually says, we are in a much better state than those first disciples were. that Jesus is actually with us through his Holy Spirit. I remember our first talk. The first talk was us about being a Talmudin, a disciple, a follower, an apprentice of Jesus. The idea that we would actually go and live our lives with Jesus. But here in this passage, it's kind of reversed. And the idea is that Jesus actually comes and lives with us. So Jesus is present with us 24/7. He's always with us. And practicing the way is for you and I to learn how to be present with him. Our brother Lawrence has got this book, Practicing the Presence of God. Now, in it, he talks about being in communion with God, having an awareness with God, with Jesus throughout your whole of your life. Paul in 1 Thessalonians talks about praying without ceasing, this idea that we have this ongoing conversation with God throughout our day. John Mark Comer talks about being in two places at once. So we're on the train, but we're also in the presence of God. We're at work, but we're also in the presence of God. We're at home with our family, but we're also in the presence of God. We're going for a walk, but we're also in the presence of God. So how do you be with Jesus? Well, the reality is he is always, always with you. Practicing the way is actually learning spiritual rhythms and habits to help us to be more aware and more present with him. So how are your brains going? You all right? Anybody got a headache? Anybody spinning? If you actually just reflect on that truth, it is life-changing. So just hold that truth. Secondly, the burden we all share. All you who are weary and burdened. Imagine our Jesus as our great physician, as our great doctor, and we go into his practice and he looks at us and he takes a step back. He actually gets his mask on and he goes, "You don't look so well. You look actually a bit sick. You look a bit tired. You look a bit worried. You seem to be full of bitterness. You don't seem to be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. There seems to be something wrong with you." So Jesus actually diagnoses a problem that we all have, the problem of being burdened and the problem of weariness. Again, Jeremiah chapter 6, it says, "Stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." You know, again, I think we're actually at an historical crossroads, both individually, but also as a community. You know, pre-COVID, most people living in the northern suburbs of Sydney, we were tired and we were fatigued and we were stressed and we were worn out and we were burnt out. And now we have this unique opportunity to be able to reassess our lives and our commitments and the way that we actually live life. But I see so many of us just running headlong back into the chaos, which actually produces this life of burden and weariness. It's not that we're choosing this ancient path that actually gives rest to our souls. Imagine this picture. Imagine corridor. There you go. Imagine a corridor that just actually stretches out for eternity. And on each side of that corridor are a bunch of doors. And behind each door is the promise of the good life. And what we do is actually we go from this door to this door to this door to this door. We think we have to have this and this and this. We think our kids have to have this and this and this. And so we live this frantic life going from one door to another door to another door. And as a result, we are weary and we are burdened. And Jesus says it shouldn't be that way. He says, "I am the door, I am the pathway to this life of rest." This burden that Jesus is ultimately talking about is the burden of religion. So in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "They tie a heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." And friends, I'm acutely aware that church can just become, for many, many people, just outward demands, just the hollow shell of obedience. In Jesus' day, the Pharisee says, you had to do this and this and this and this. You had to obey this law and this law and this law, and nobody could actually do it. And religion was a heavy yoke. It was a burdensome to people. And friends, listen to me. As we go through this series and we talk about spiritual habits, ways of being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus and doing the works of Jesus, we don't just want to lay another level of busyness on your life. We don't want to actually place another level of burden on your life. We don't want that. Jesus doesn't want that. These spiritual habits, which we're going to start talking about today and in the coming weeks, will not actually make you closer to God. You're already a son and or a daughter of the living God through faith in Christ by grace. These habits that we're going to introduce you to are to help you to enjoy God, to help you to enjoy being with Jesus, to enjoy becoming like Jesus, to actually enjoy doing the works of Jesus. Thirdly, the rest, life we long for. Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So there are three really important things here. Firstly, he says, come to me. Only Jesus could actually get away with that. He says, don't come to a book, don't come to a seminar, don't come to a service, don't come to a course. He says, come to me. He says, come to me and worship me and love me, and I will be the gate or the door or the path that leads to life and freedom and abundance and flourishing. And the question is, have you done that? Are you doing that? How do we do that? How do we actually come to Jesus? Well, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children." Jesus actually wants you and I to come to him like little children. It's not that we're unthoughtful. It's not that we actually throw our brains out the window. But you know the thing about little children? Is that they're just trusting and they're just really dependent upon their mum and dad. A little child's favourite word is mum, and if that doesn't work, it's dad. And if that doesn't work, they go back to mum. And they just keep on saying that because a little child is actually dependent on their mum and dad. Karl Marx said that Christianity is a crutch for the masses. That Christianity is for the weak. It's for those people who can't get through life without God. He meant it as an insult, but it's actually true. Christianity is for the weak. It is for the humble. It is for those who will come to God like a little children and say, "I'm struggling, I'm scared, I'm afraid, I'm tired, I'm fatigued, and I need your rest." And Jesus says, secondly, he says, take my yoke upon you. A yoke was a rabbi's interpretation of the Torah. It was their own particular understanding of the Bible. And Jesus says, take my yoke of grace upon you. It is not heavy. It is actually life-giving. But then thirdly, he says, learn from me. Now, this is where we move from theory to practice. Many of you are actually saying, well, what do I have to actually do on a Monday? How does any of this actually change my life? Well, here's probably one of the most important ideas in this series. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. Let me say that again. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. If you want to actually experience a life filled with the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, you have to actually adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. I think about the Commonwealth Games. If you actually want to be an elite athlete, you've got to train like an elite athlete, sleep like an elite athlete, you have to eat like an elite athlete, you have to actually think like an elite athlete. I'd like to be an elite athlete, but I also like beer and pizza just way too much. I think about being a professional musician. If you want to be a professional musician, what do you have to do? You have to practice and practice and practice and practice. At the age of 17, I walked into a music store and I got an electric guitar and an amp, and I went and had one lesson, and then I started to try and play. And because I couldn't play like Eric Clapton immediately, I never touched that guitar again. If you want to be an academic, what do you have to do? You have to read, 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 read. Write. Read, 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 read. Write. But here's the good news. We're not being called to being elite athletes. We're not being called to being great musicians. We're not being called to being an academic. But we are being called to being a Talmudim, an apprentice, a disciple of Jesus. And if you want to be an apprentice of Jesus, you have to actually adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. In John chapter 17, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." It's a promise that any follower of Jesus will actually experience peace. But are you actually experiencing that? Is there actually peace in your life? Is there a disconnect with what Jesus actually promises and what you are actually experiencing? Remember that Jesus was both fully divine and fully human. So if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. But also, if you want to know what a flourishing life looked like, also look at Jesus. Jesus was never rushed. The funny thing about God is that God actually makes a promise, and then 700 years or 2,000 years later, he actually then ends up keeping that promise. God is actually never in a rush. Jesus spent time in community, in hospitality. You would find him at parties, at friends' places, at weddings. He called the disciples to come and be with him. Jesus spent a lot of time alone. He would steal away to be with his Father in prayer. Jesus actually spent a lot of time sleeping. Read through the Gospels and notice how many times Jesus is asleep, even in the midst of a storm. After an intense time of ministry, he would pull the disciples away to rest and re-energize. He practiced the Sabbath. Every day he would go to the local synagogue and renew his faith. He obviously meditated on the scriptures. He lived simply. He wasn't consumed with materialism. And is that true of your life and my life? Jesus experienced the same pressures as you, the same disappointments, the same hardships, the same challenges. But you could actually say, in many ways, we could agree that Jesus' life was more difficult than your life and mine. He was crucified at the age of 33. But he had peace by the way he lived. I don't need to tell you that some of you, perhaps all of us, are overly busy. That we're just committed to way too many things. We're overly connected on our phones all the time. Digital addiction is a huge problem. A lot of us are actually buying more than we need, spending more than we have. We aren't sleeping and eating and exercising well. Many of you in this room feel alone and shut off from community. We don't practice the renewal of Sabbath. A lot of us aren't practicing prayer and solitude, and we wonder why we don't have peace. Peace isn't some magical transfer. It's not like Jesus comes and looks at us and says, "Well, I can see the horrible life that you're living, that you're overly committed, that you never rest, that you never actually practice Sabbath, but here is peace." We only get peace by practicing the lifestyle of Jesus. And again, I don't want to actually make you guilty because I'm in it with you. I've got a demanding job like you. I've got a marriage like you. I've got kids and family like you. I've got meetings and messages that I have to respond to like you. But how do we actually discover this peace, this way of life, this way of following Jesus in the northern suburbs of Sydney? The thing is that there is no cookie cutter when it comes to discipleship. We're all actually a little bit different, so my journey will actually be a little bit different to your journey. But here are some spiritual disciplines and habits that actually help me to be with Jesus. Super practical. So over the years, Bible reading and prayer has been the cornerstone of me connecting my life with Jesus. And a lot of the time, it's not sort of something spectacular. A lot of the time, it's just meat and three veg. Occasionally, I'll be with Jesus in the scriptures and in prayer, and it'll be like a gourmet meal. But most of the time, it's just God actually revealing himself little bit by little bit to me. Another spiritual discipline for me, which is really important for my mental health, is the idea of gratitude. You know, we all live in this world where there's this problem and this problem and this problem and this problem. But to actually lift our eyes and to be thankful for the good things that God has actually given us. At our staff meetings, we always start our staff meetings with actually thanking God for the good things that he's done in the past week. Just lifting our eyes and being thankful. Now, this won't be of any use to you, but I'm pretty sure that I'm underdiagnosed ADHD. So being still is actually a real problem to me. And so for me to pray, for me to meditate, for me to actually really connect with God, I've got to be on the move. I've got to be walking, I've got to be running, I've got to be doing that. I can't actually just be still to be able to connect with God. But you might be able to do that. That might be your way. Silence and solitude. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm stretched in this direction, stretched in this direction. I'm stressed or worried about this and this and this. And actually just to close my office door. Not to play worship, not to read the Bible, not to pray, but just to be silent and still before my living God. To allow all the noise and all the clutter and all the demands and all the stress to actually just wash away and just to be with God actually re-centers me. Then I open the door again and I think, well, and close the door again. Hospitality. This week was such a blessing. A brother in Christ took me out for breakfast Thursday morning, and we spoke about our life, we spoke about our faith, we spoke about Jesus, and we prayed for one another. I met up with another couple Friday lunchtime in the park, and we had lunch together, Jenna and I and that couple, and again, we spoke about our faith, we spoke about Jesus, and we prayed for one another. In the evening, another couple actually took us out to an Indian restaurant, and again, we spoke about our faith, we spoke about Jesus, and we actually prayed for one another. Friends, Jesus and curry. It doesn't get any better than that. That's a great spiritual discipline. I can eat vindaloo with Jesus and friends for the rest of my life. And then for me, creation, just actually getting out in creation, whether it's the bush or the ocean, in some ways that actually just connects my mind and my heart with Jesus. So friends, these practices, these ways of being with Jesus, they're not meant to actually be a burden. They're actually meant to be life-giving. You know that image of the hallway with all these doors? What I would encourage you to do over the coming weeks is actually just to take a little bit of an inventory of your life and say, well, which doorways can I actually close? What commitments and what busyness actually don't I need to be involved in? And how can I actually begin to pick up one or two of these practices? They say it normally takes about 4 to 6 weeks to develop a spiritual habit. Then it actually takes about a year to become proficient at that. And then it probably takes 2 years before you actually see the benefit of that in your own life. Eugene Peterson talks about a long obedience in the same direction, discipleship in an instant society. So there's no quick fix. It's just learning a little bit by little bit by little bit how to do prayer and solitude, how to read the scriptures, how to practice Sabbath, how to practice forgiveness. And bit by bit, over the course of the lifetime, your life will be changed into the likeness of Jesus. And finally, very quickly, Jesus is the rabbi we can trust. Jesus says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus is kind. He's patient, he's humble, he's loving, he's forgiving, he's wise, he's gentle. He says, "You can come to me and you can find rest for your soul." Last week, Mike introduced us to this pyramid, but it had a fancy name. What was the fancy name? That thing, yeah. But what he was speaking about is what Jesus is speaking about in John chapter 11. Remember the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is always present with us through his Spirit. The practices are actually helping us to be more present with him. Primarily, we actually discover Jesus in the scriptures. And we all do this best in community. And if you just do that day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, God will create you into someone who reflects the likeness of Christ. Allow me to pray. Will you actually just spend some time before our living God, actually laying your burdens and your worries and your doubts and your fear and your frustration before him? Will you come to him like a little child? Jesus says these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Will you this morning come and be with Jesus around the communion table? This is one of the ways that we actually remember and celebrate the centrality of Christ in our lives. The bread symbolizes his body, which was actually broken for us. The cup symbolizes his blood, which was actually spilled for us. Come and take the bread and sit down and give thanks and celebrate everything that God has done for you in Jesus. And just hold the cup, because actually we've got to drink that together, because the only way we can be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do the works of Jesus is by being in community together. So please come forward, eat and drink.